Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good.
Not about you.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about This Is the End and using the rapture as a plot device or setting. We also read five answers from our listener, Graham.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as usual, by Tim Wick.
That's me.
And Molly.
That's me. I'm Glover. Molly.
You
Glover.
Are.
Wow.
You are. That's the first time she's gotten that right. And today, this week, we're going to talk about This Is the End.
This the movie. Is the End. The movie.
The movie. The Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill and...
What's the main Jay?
The Canadian guy. Yeah. Jay the Canadian.
Yeah. Jay the Canadian.
I always think of him as Shmushmorshin.
All sorts of research.
He's Shmushmorshin guy because of the way he get knocked up. He's the one who says, "Don't say it. If you want to get a Shmushmorshin." So I always think of him as Shmushmorshin guy.
He'll always be Shmushmorshin. Maple leaf tattoo. Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Canadian skinny punk.
I loved this movie. I loved 90% of this movie.
90%.
Yeah, I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I'm gonna say 75%
Okay, maybe I'm attributing too small of a portion to the religious stuff, but can we talk about the humor part first,
yeah,
at least?
Yeah,
because that was
sure.
Fucking great. I am familiar with all of the actors and comedians in this movie, and so I loved the way that they lampooned each other and did like their themselves plus for characters, kind of like how Larry David does.
Yeah, they one of the things they did about that is they didn't write a lot of the stuff about themselves.
Okay.
And the other people wrote those, but you know what eccentricities
sure.
And stuff like that. So it's they're kind of making fun of each other a lot. Like Jonah Hill's like super nice guy like facade,
yeah.
Or the fact that James Franco is just an intolerable fucking hippie,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's so
Michael Cera being crazy.
Michael Cera
and totally into himself.
Michael Cera's cocaine parties were just oh my god.
I
think Michael Cera was the funniest part of that film, and I'm pissed that he died so early in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie, you should probably not have been listening.
Spoilers. you see Michael Cera die in the previews. For
it's
god's
true.
Sake.
It's true.
He showed up to the audition for the movie, and they told him what they wanted him to do, and he said, "I'll do it. As long as I can wear the windbreaker that I'm wearing right now." And that's the super, like, 90s monstrosity windbreaker that he's wearing in the movie.
That's awesome.
Is his personal windbreaker that he showed up to the audition in.
I really liked, and again, I mean, it's, because, you know, it's Seth Rogen and his buddy, you know, that wrote it, his heterosexual life partner. Because that's what Superbad is about.
It's
is
about
their,
those two as
those
high
two.
School kids.
Yeah, so I liked the whole...
Evan Goldberg is his name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you got famous, and, you know, you're this, and no one even knows who I am, even though by rights, you know, I'm just as famous in the sense and talent of with writing and everything. I liked it all. I thought the themes were good.
The bromance.
That's
bromance parts were great. The really buddies relationship.
And the whole like, oh, these are my friends, so they should be your friends. Like, they're not my friends, they're your friends, and that doesn't transfer kind of stuff was good.
What's her name? In a lot of cameos. Aziz Ansari gets kicked in the face to death.
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson is fucking great.
So, okay.
Paul Rudd shows up for like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was really pissed that he died, too.
The Emma Watson thing, I've had a lot of people saying like, oh, another rape joke in Hollywood. Now, what I think is funny about the rape thing with Emma Watson, and I'll just briefly describe it if you don't know, is that, so... Emma Watson's there, and she's in a room by herself, and they're like, okay, don't worry.
The only woman.
The only woman, it's like 8 guys, and they're like, well, we'll keep an eye out, you know, don't worry. And she's like, okay, and she's fine. She's, you know, she's reasonably fine with it. Goes in this room, and they all start talking about how it's going to look really rapey, and if we got to be careful, and it's like you're starting to sound like you're going to, she's going to think we're going to rape her. I'm not going to, no one's going to rape her. You know, it starts, and that's what she's hearing.
And then,
so she...
And then it's... if any of us was going to rape her, it'd be Danny McBride.
Exactly, yeah. And so what I thought was funny about that was they started off talking about how she probably thinks that we're going to rape her, so be cool, guys, because none of us obviously want that. And all she hears is a bunch of dudes talking about who's going to rape her, yes. Hypothetically. And so she comes out with a bat, like, you're going to rape me. Like, no, 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 no. And she doesn't let them talk her, like, pretend like it's not happening. She just takes what she, you know, yeah, and
she beats the shit out of
her. I thought it was super empowering.
We can totally talk about comic theory here. I mean, to me, that if you're going to do a rape joke, I thought that was a really, really well-structured rape joke. It never for a moment suggests that raping her is okay.
Or that it was even going to happen.
Any of these guys want to do it.
You knew she wasn't going to get raped. That was what was funny. Yeah,
that was what was. It's just these guys who won't fucking shut up.
And they're so neurotic about her being worried.
That they completely make her worried.
Because it's like saying to a girl, don't worry, I won't rape you, is pretty rapey, is the thing. Yeah, right away, you're like, I wasn't, and now I'm wondering. Like, because you felt like, you had to warn me.
I didn't bring up rape. You brought up rape. Yeah. Man, why is rape the topic of the day? But comedically, there are a lot of funny parts, a lot of funny cameos and stuff. But there were parts of the movie that some of us didn't like, I guess. And I think that might tie to atheism.
I fucking hated the religious stuff. Bam, I'll say it.
There you go. As soon
as it started.
There it is.
Because when the weird, which we now know is the rapture, when people started, when they all beamed up or whatever, I thought, oh fuck, it's like an alien invasion apocalypse or something. That's crazy funny.
That's
going to be great. And then they were like talking about it like it was the rapture. I'm like, won't it be funny when it's aliens? Because there's no way they're going to make it the rapture, right? I mean, there's no way they're going to make it the rapture. And then it was. And I was like, well, that's dumb. And then it was, if you do good deeds, you'll also get to go up. So now we're just going to all not be sinners.
If you repent,
and do good things, which
there was a funny part about that. There was a funny rapture joke.
You know, you got to remember James that Franco. Almost everybody making this movie is Jewish.
Right.
Sure.
I was actually reading an interview on the AV Club where they were talking about how Seth Rogen and what's his name? The other dude. Evan Goldberg. We're talking about how growing up, they thought Christianity was really fucking scary. Yeah. All these, like, guys hanging on crosses and shit.
Yeah.
And so that's where a lot of the Armageddon piece came from.
And that's fine, but if I'm going to see a movie, I'm not going to see it with all I don't read the interviews. I'm not bringing in the baggage of what they decided was why they wanted to write it. I'm just viewing it in a bubble.
But, like, another example of that. This weekend, Molly and I went and saw The Conjuring.
Uh-huh.
The first, like, 3/4 of the movie is, like,
awesome.
Badass, demonic,
scary.
Like, haunting. It's scary. It's mostly knee-jerk, like, more scary than horror.
Yeah.
But then the last quarter of the film is just an exorcism movie, which is boring as shit.
And not scary at all.
Like, I haven't been scared from an exorcist movie since I saw The Exorcist.
Even The Exorcist never scared me, because it's so far from possibly being real that it takes me out of it. And I'm like,
that's dumb. You can't suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, and so for me, This Is the End, when all of a sudden it was like, the joke now is the rapture's real. And it wasn't, I don't want to say that it's just because I'm an atheist that I was like, ugh. I'm turned off by, it's Christian privilege, and it was turning me off, because it was just like, why? Why make it that? Why is that funnier than anything else being the cause? That's what I wanted to know.
Didn't the gigantic flaming Satan dong entertain you at all?
I guess. I mean, in that it's a penis and it's on fire, but I mean, I wasn't like, how irreverent. Satan sure must feel the fool, you know, because, like, it's...
The dick gets cut off, too. Like, as soon as I saw a giant Satan dick, I'm like, that dick's getting cut off.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make a dick the size of a house with these guys doing a movie and say that CGI cock is not... Something's happening with that CGI dick.
It's funny, because I'm realizing that I don't remember a lot about the end because I was so bored and annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
That I kind of blocked out a lot of... What I remember is Jesus stuff and ascensions into heaven and, like, doing good deeds to...
Do you remember James Franco's getting ascended? What is it called again? Raptured?
He's getting raptured, and then he's like taunting Danny McBride, and
he starts giving him the finger. I mean, like, ah, fuck you guys, haha. As he's getting like sucked up to heaven, and then the light just cuts out and drops him.
Because well, it's a fine example of God being a dick.
Well, yeah,
sure.
Like, haha, I'm gonna rapture you. Oh no, no, guess not. Nah, oh, you're going to hell, motherfucker.
I think I don't want. There's one thing I don't want to give away.
Oh,
my favorite cameo was Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum was pretty fucking hilarious.
Fucking like Danny McBride shows up like
King of the Apocalypse
style. What's his name with the hockey mask and
Mad
mask? Lord Humongous shows up all post-apocalyptic warrior, road warrior gang. And there's a cameo with Channing Tatum that's fucking great.
It was also, and I really feel like it was all so funny, and it would have been perfect if it had been anything but religion. If it had been
more comedy mileage,
more because I guess it was billed as an apocalypse movie and not necessarily like a rapture movie, I guess.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt tricked. I kind of felt tricked, and
like you can come to this free resort, but we're gonna like proselytize to you the whole time you're staying.
Kind
there.
Of, and the whole like, message was to do good things, but the good things were super subjective, and like it seemed to me like so that's all it takes to be raptured. I mean, so he didn't do anything in his life that was as good as whatever the fuck it is that he's doing in this moment that they
oh,
it just
yeah.
seems so easy to me. It's like you're all sinners and you're let's just assume the rapture that,
so is that
you're all sinners and you didn't get raptured. You can earn your way back and all it takes is like one thing, like being so, nice.
Self-sacrifice.
Just one nice
so
thing.
So is that a product of using the rapture as a literary device, or is that a product of lazy writing? Could they have done the rapture and you've been satisfied with it in the movie?
See, but to me, they were playing. They were just like, is what they were doing was so far from Christianity anyway.
Yeah.
In terms of the in terms
all
of the
Bible quotes and stuff that they're reading, that's none of that's in the Bible.
Yeah, and so to me, it was like the comedic version of the rapture. That honestly, that didn't bother me. I was honestly, what's odd is I was turned off by the movie before then.
Really?
Because I was bored by the comedy. Because to me, the whole movie goes like this. There is a crisis. The characters argue over it for a while. It gets resolved. There's another crisis. The characters argue over it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It gets resolved. And it just kept going on and on like that. And not really going anywhere. These characters weren't being propelled forward. They were just arguing. And the arguments were funny.
Yeah.
The dialogue was funny. But it just... It never really narratively.
I can see that, yeah.
It never narratively. For the longest time, they're just hanging out in this house and doing nothing except having arguments.
Yeah.
And I walked out of the movie having been amused by it, and I said to Pat that I didn't think I was ever going to want to see it again. And I feel that way now. It's like I don't feel like I ever need to see that movie again. I enjoyed it while I watched it. At the same time, I found myself getting bored. I liked it better once they got out of the house because at least things were changing a little bit.
I think to answer your question about is there a way they could have done it with the rapture that wouldn't have been boring or whatever, and I think yes. If they hadn't done the thing with them getting... like accepted into heaven after the fact.
Yeah.
If it had been, oh shit, that was the rapture, and now we're all down here, and we're
surviving
stuck.
And dying,
and like maybe like there could have been infighting about. I thought I was, kind of like discussion about. I thought I was a good person. Why not this? And maybe like biblical shit happening to the people. You know, Satan's big fiery dick and things like that. That would have been fine. But I think what bothered me was that then the entire plot device became, like. That what you want is to be raptured, because what you want is to be accepted by the Christian God into their bullshit.
So the answer
whatever.
Is like yes, if the rapture's a setting, but no, if rapture's a plot device.
Right. If like Tim said, they're not doing anything about Christianity. They're just kind of vaguely making it the rapture in order to make it why there's people gone or things like that. Like,
have you seen Pineapple Express, Tim?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Of course.
So I'm just realizing that as soon as you said, like, floppy red Satan cock, or whatever it was you said, that there's a line in Pineapple Express when the woman catches the two kids smoking weed, that Seth Rogen and, what's his name?
Sold in the weed.
Sold. She's dragging these two kids up to them and busting them. She's like, I see these two kids out there, eyes red as the devil's dick.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I saw the giant CGI Satan cock, that was the line that popped into my head was, great. Those kids' eyes red as Satan's cock. I'm like, well, there it is. It's red.
That's red.
That cop was right.
Yeah.
You know what I honestly have been wondering about since I saw the movie. I haven't gone back to see it again, but I keep wondering whether or not Satan was circumcised or not.
Satan was not circumcised.
Because I'm like, this is a movie by a bunch of Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. That's brilliant.
I don't think Satan was circumcised. I could draw you a picture.
I don't remember looking. I thought of it later.
I think, so in terms of the regular movie as opposed to the religious themes, I think a problem that I had with, you know, with the character development, as it were, and things like that was Jay... I got really tired really fast of Jay being
a whiny bitch
and purposefully refusing to try and just being like, those guys hate me, I'm not even going to try. And that bothers me because I don't like it when a character just endlessly complains and says things like, don't you, like, you're my best friend and like you're and blah 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 and like you and I have this thing and yet you were like, I don't know, when they can't accept who they want to talk about what they're really like or what they're really being like. He wouldn't admit he's being a bitch.
He wasn't making an effort at all, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jonah Hill being a bastard to him in a way that no one else could tell, but
that was funny. Aren't you like?
Can I get you anything at all? Yeah. Do you want to? You know,
so great that you're here. So happy.
I'm so glad you're here. You're like one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
Like.
And then it was genuine. Like, is
not
the,
not a drop of sarcasm, but clearly false. And like it's like saying something to a bully in front of the teacher.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you both know what you're saying, but she can't. The teacher can't say anything because. You know, technically, you're not saying anything wrong.
I would say 7 out of 10 would bang. Like, I mean, I loved it, and then I didn't like it so quickly that I feel like it colored all the liking it in the early.
That can happen, you know.
Yeah.
There are points where movies kind of. We talked about it on with Josh Humphrey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are times where a movie just kind of takes a turn that turns you off, and you can't really. You can't really recover from that.
Yeah.
Talking about War of the Worlds, in that I really, really, really liked that movie, and it got to the ending, and the ending was so false to me that I've never watched it again.
I felt at the time watching it, I remember thinking, like, when the religious stuff started, and I was like, ugh. God damn it. And then I thought, oh, fuck, stereotypical atheist, you know, doesn't like religious themes in movies. So I tried really hard to be like, okay, let's set my own whatever aside and, like, try to enjoy it. And I just couldn't. And I tried here, I guess, mostly to put into words why. But
like, religion doesn't ruin things for you. I know.
No.
You love Preacher.
I do love Preacher.
That's all about Christian mythology,
yeah.
You know, as a fictional setting.
Yep. I love American Gods. I love Good Omens. I love all kinds of stuff involving it, but it's just something about...
Well, we'll just have to have it... We'll just have to make up for it by seeing World's End soon.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And is that that's the
Edgar
Simon
Wright,
Pegg,
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost.
Yeah, that's
and
the
that
third
one,
in the
Coronado
trilogy.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, because they all have the ice cream and everyone's
the
there's
ice
the Coronado
cream cone thing.
It's like a king cone, but it's called, a Coronado.
Yeah, king cone's here, Coronado's there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of them's vanilla, one of them's something, and then I think this one's mint.
Yeah.
Is the
theme.
Do you know if that one's going to be Rapture or
Aliens?
It's Aliens.
It's Aliens,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
is way better because
aliens
it's
replacing
so much
people
more believable.
Either replacing people with or turning them into
robots
it
it's
seems.
It's Stepford Wives.
There's
kind
definitely
of.
Kind of a pod people.
So Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah,
yes.
kind of,
yeah.
yeah.
Kind of thing going
and
on.
So it's,
the way
it's
they're
a,
always inspired by something.
It's
you know?
A group of five guys getting together for like, you know, get the gang back together, reunion back in their hometown. Where there's this mile-long pub crawl where it's like 15 pubs in a mile, and at the very last pub is the world's end. And when they last tried to do it, something went wrong, and they didn't get to finish the pub crawl, and then they went off into their own lives, and now they're getting back together, and they're gonna do the pub crawl.
No matter what.
And then, like, robot alien apocalypse happens, and so they have to get to the World's End because that's, you know, the Winchester. That's their safe safe place. Right. Or there's some, I don't know what the MacGuffin is about
exciting,
it, but
exciting.
Yeah, it's I'm excited for running jokes and referential humor and all that, doing the jokes twice type thing that they do in Shaun of the Dead. And
so I guess what we're saying is talking about This Is the End really makes us want to go see World's End. So yeah, kind of. Thanks. You know,
I would say 7 out of 10. It's, that's accurate.
Seeing to me, I'd say 5.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I the funny thing is the religious stuff, I kind of have the stereotypical atheist response of, oh my God, is this going to be the fucking rapture?
Yeah.
Really? But then there I was like, well, you know, it's way fucking better than Left Behind.
Well,
You know, if somebody's going to do the rapture, at least they did the rapture with the gigantic flaming Satan did.
They did mention, God damn it, what's his name? Kirk Cameron in the movie, and that he sucks. So
That's true. That's true.
Except he ends up being right, and that's not fair.
But I go from a 6 to a 7. Just any movie that calls Kirk Cameron a twat gets an extra point. That's
you hear that, budding filmmakers.
That's right. You want an endorsement from Geeks Without God? Call Kirk Cameron a twat.
If that's the title of your movie, you get 3 extra points.
That's right.
Taking from a 7 to a 10.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Five questions?
I guess five
All
questions.
Right.
We have five questions.
We're racing through this episode. This will be like our shortest episode ever.
We owe them a short episode.
Yeah,
we've been putting
fair.
Them through their paces,
yeah,
so they deserve a little short one.
Our answers are from Graham Leathers.
Yep.
And we know Graham from the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. He's in a band called Bards at Large.
Yes.
He's Canadian.
Oh.
Yeah. He's Canadian.
That's nice.
Yeah.
He's trying to become an American.
He's trying to become an American.
Yeah. Why?
Because he married an American chick. It's all about
sucker.
Love.
And it's not just automatic these days.
See, she should try to become a Canadian. They're doing it the wrong way.
It's true.
Yeah. I think they're probably doing it all the right ways.
They're
married.
So our first question for Graham.
All right, I'll be Graham.
You're Graham.
I'm Graham. All
right. Do your best Graham voice.
I don't.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I confess, I haven't really sat down and watched a movie, per se, in the last 30 days. I just haven't had the time. But I did tune in to an old Nova program about the Dover trial in 2005, and it inspired me to go and read a couple of books. The Devil in Dover by Laurie Labo, who was a reporter covering the trial. The Good News Club by Catherine Stewart, recommended by Eugenie Scott. This book is a must-read for anyone with strong objections to the religious right forcing their way into public arenas where they do not belong. It's interesting. I remember that I've seen a cover for The Devil in Dover when I worked at Barnes & Noble. I can remember that cover.
Mm-hmm. The Good News Club is a book we really, I keep meaning to read.
Yeah.
As a parent of kids who are
in
public school. Because this is about a group of people that are using loopholes in the law to basically proselytize to children.
They do it in Australia, too. David Thorne, the 27B/6 guy, talks about when he still lived in Australia that they would do it. Because Australia, you know, it was like, it's a private club that comes to the school and they gift them with an assembly and it's billed as entertainment, but it's not.
No,
it's,
in Australia, it's billed as counseling.
Yeah.
So. That's so question number 2, what is your favorite atheist character?
I couldn't think of any off the top of my head. I thought Galileo in Bertolt Brecht's Galileo for the frustrating scene where he is trying to persuade the clergy to look through his telescope and they refuse as it is an instrument to the devil. But I don't think Galileo was in fact an atheist himself, even though Brecht was. I did eventually settle on Thomas Huxley from Creation. He had only a brief appearance in the film, so I would have to confess to cheating on this point. I've always had considerable admiration for this man being Darwin's bulldog when the evolution theory got the church all good and PO'd. I'm a strong advocate for proper science education in the public schools, and I often think of Huxley's response to a bishop when he scoffed at Darwin's notion that his great-great-great-grandfather was an ape. Huxley's response, "I would rather have an ape for an ancestor than a bishop who was careless with the truth." The remark prompted a fist fight. I've been meaning to watch that Creation.
Yeah.
We've talked about watching that.
Yeah,
I gotta say, you know, I think the telescope probably isn't Satan's instrument. I think Satan's instrument would be like a V-neck guitar.
Ooh.
Like, that's, I mean, if Satan had an instrument, it'd be metal. It'd
I
be
think, yeah, Satan is a heavy
even
metal
a flying
guy.
Bee kind
of. Even, yeah. Even when he played the fiddle to beat old Johnny in The Devil Went Down to Georgia,
he
kind of
played
it
like a V-neck guitar.
Super metal.
Yeah.
And by the way, he also wins, so, like,
no,
I don't
he
know.
Doesn't. The devil doesn't win.
Yeah, he does. I don't understand what the song narrative is, but have you listened to the difference? He wins. He's way better. Way better.
Well, also, I mean, music is subjective, so, I mean, fuck you,
except
Johnny.
It, yeah, yeah, yeah. Granny, does your dog bite? You know what? Fuck you. That's a stupid song. I gotta, it's...
Fuck that song.
Right?
Oh,
all right.
Man. All right, Graham, what is your geekiest hobby?
Graham says, I have a few geeky hobbies. I like computer games and RPGs, and I'm also an avid model railroader. Does
Ooh,
that count as geeky?
That's super geeky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Model
so,
railroads.
So, Graham, what skill do you build?
Does he say?
Yeah, he does not. That's all he says.
Okay, Graham, if you listen, you got to tell us what skill.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested
to know. Old trains or new trains? What are the other questions that they ask?
Diesel, steam.
Yeah.
How do you feel about there being, like, little people and dogs and things, or do you just want just trains
no
and buildings
just the track,
and people?
You know.
Like, yeah. All right.
Send us a picture.
That's important.
Send us a picture.
Yeah, we need to know what you're doing with the trains there, Graham.
Yeah.
All right,
sex
question
stuff.
Number four. What?
Sex train.
You have like a gigantic flaming Satan with a big fiery penis.
All aboard the sex train. Choo choo.
The train is Satan's penis.
That's the name of it. It's blazoned on the cards.
Question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
Chicken salad on Winnipeg City Bread's onion rye bread. How I have missed those.
See, he's Canadian.
Yeah, so, I see that. Onion rye bread actually sounds good. I'm not a huge onion person. That sounds pretty tasty.
So, man, important details that I think are necessary when talking about any sort of salad, meat salad, like
mm-hmm.
tuna salad or chicken salad. Do you have raw celery and onions in that shit,
or
is it celery and onion
or
free?
Or just are there, or even just you know, onions? Like, are there bits in? That's kind of how I like to describe
bits.
It. Are
yeah,
there
yeah.
bits in, like pickle
are
bits?
Are you a mayonnaise and mustard person, a mayonnaise person, or a Miracle Whip?
I make my tuna salad with sour cream.
You, because you're weird.
And mustard and bits in.
I am a Miracle Whip and mustard person.
You like smooth salads.
And like
you
nothing
don't like bits.
Else.
Yeah, he doesn't like bits.
You don't like bits.
Do you like bits?
I don't like celery in it. I like celery seed and onion powder.
See, I don't like onions. So,
yes, me neither.
So, you know, like celery I'm fine with.
Yeah.
But usually you can't get celery without onions.
You know what's super, you know what's
I don't like
it yourself.
I don't like the texture of them when they're cold in salad like that.
I don't like the texture of onion anytime.
I love celery.
I like the flavor of onion. So
yeah.
like onion powder
yeah.
totally works
See,
for
I'm,
me.
I'm right there with you.
I like celery chopped up, or I also, my favorite thing that I make for tuna salad is tuna, sour cream, like a little bit of mustard, and then chopped up radishes, like diced,
Ooh,
tiny
radishes.
Little diced radishes.
See, that'd be good.
Bits.
That'd be good.
That's my favorite
See,
tuna salad.
And you make Neil Gaiman's recipe of potato salad.
I do.
Which
I do.
You do turkey
it's,
bacon
it's
as a regular
new,
bacon.
It's new potatoes that you boil, and then it's a warm potato salad. So it's
sure.
new potatoes, and you slice them and dice them up, and then sour cream and eggs. And then he uses mayonnaise, I think, as well, but I do not. And then you fry bacon, and you then fry green onions in the bacon grease until they are crispy. And then you crumble the bacon and put the green onions
wow.
in, and then you mix it all up and you serve it warm.
And
it's fucking delicious.
You get this weird magical property where the more salt you add, the more delicious it is.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's
never
dangerous.
Too salty because the potatoes
wow.
absorb it all.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's delicious.
That sounds really good.
And our fifth question.
Yes.
Sandwich digression. Is what's the stupidest comment you've received about your atheism?
It was more overheard than actively discussed. A man was talking rather loudly on the bus to another man, and he said something to the effect of, "If you don't have Jesus in your life, you are totally lost." I thought it was stupid because I was on the right bus and knew exactly where I was going and what I was going to do when I got there. In the broader sense, I got to thinking about the events in my life that ultimately brought me to my disbelief. I have canoed into the heart of the Canadian wilderness. I spent some time up in northern Saskatchewan studying bald eagles. I have taken a nap in a bald eagle's nest. I have traveled all of the Trans-Canada Highway between Vancouver, British Columbia, and Calgary, Alberta several times by bicycle. I have worked just as about everything from a professional actor to bald eagle researcher, and I find it hard to think my life is somehow unfulfilled. Sure, there are a lot of things I would still like to do, but life is not always agreeable to satisfying whims. All that being said, I have to say that I have never seen anything in all my travels and experience to present any evidence of any kind of supernatural causation. All those hokey things devout believers point out as miracles, like sunsets, sunrises, babies being born, etc., are what they are. Come on, people, these are phenomena that are well understood and have been for centuries. They are no less wondrous, but we know why they happen. Like many atheists, I had a mildly Christian upbringing, United Church of Canada, and besides the Unitarians, they don't get much more secular. But having embraced a truer material understanding of nature and being open to free and critical thinking have presented greater possibilities and a far more amazing universe than the ancients could ever have imagined.
Wow.
Well said.
That's great. Yeah, I don't understand, you know, obviously they mean spiritually lost.
Yes, yes.
But I haven't met any atheists who are spiritually lost.
That's
a complete failure to understand. Yeah.
Yes.
Why people don't believe in God. It's the presumption that if we don't believe in God, that we're sitting there going, well, I'm missing something. There's the God-sized hole.
In
our lives. And we're going to be lost until we fill that God-sized hole.
Graham's got it figured out like Thoreau.
Exactly.
I mean, he's got his nature and his shit going on and doesn't need God for it.
Saying that you're lost because it's always so fucking like condescending to you, because what they're saying is they know better than you. Their life has more purpose than yours, and they are just better people than you in general because they've got Jesus.
Sure.
And it's super fucking condescending because you don't know anything about me, especially if you're yelling at me on a bus.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have no idea what I do.
They're saying I'm happier than you without any knowledge of how happy I am.
Yep. Yeah.
They're just assuming that because I don't have Jesus in my life, I can't be as happy as that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's bullshit.
That's just messed up.
So,
thanks, Graham.
Thank you for your answers,
great,
Graham. We appreciate
great answers.
It. We'll
thanks a
see
lot.
You in a few weeks out at RenFest. We've been Geeks Without God.
Yeah.
Send us your answers to our 5 questions at 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Like us on Facebook. You can comment there as well as our website, geekswithoutgod.com, and follow us on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
All aboard Satan's fiery red cock, now departing for hell.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Hey guys, this is Tim. So I'm an idiot and forgot to pimp my friend's show.